to kind of be around and love on one another. There's really no other choice in the matter, really, especially whenever you're sleeping in your tents. I actually slept outside. I guarded all the food, slept by the totes. So that was interesting. But I think that I learned some things about the youth on this trip. I think all your kids are great. These kids are great. And God really showed me that your kids are very strong, and they have beautiful prayers. They do. So I encourage you guys, not just our youth group, but all of the parents, man, like, get your kids out, do stuff, challenge them, and grow them. I think that one of the best things for me was to watch those kids loving on my kids. And it's just God's way of showing me, you know, like, the time and efforts you're putting in are paying off. And that was a huge blessing just to see that, you know. And that's with the church in general, the way we love on one another, and we just kind of pass it down. Some of my favorite things about NYR, I'd have to say everything there is God-centered. You know, we caught a moose on a mountain before one of the services, and I just happened to walk back a little bit behind the stage, and I caught all the openers, the one who had the main message, all the worship leaders. They were all praying together before the service, and it was really cool to see that, you know. And all the messages, all the songs, everything just, you know, points the kids to God. The kids got 3 square meals a day of the word, and it was really cool. Another thing is Missouri is taking that place over. There are so many people there that were from Missouri. There were 3 churches from Mexico there. We ran into some people from Hallsville that headed off the snow day that we were blessed to attend in Moberly. There was churches there from Centralia and Columbia and Moberly and Macon. One of the guys there, he's from Arkansas. Last year I walked by his campsite and he said, what part of Missouri are you from? And I said, well, how'd you know that? He's like, well, that's just the catch-all question because Missouri's taking this place over. So it's really cool just to know that there's surrounding communities that are also getting in on this ministry, because I think Missouri is a beautiful place too. You know, if you really look at it, there's a lot of campers, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do outdoors around here. So I encourage everybody to try and get your kids in that. That is a ministry, and it's a great ministry to bring families together. Let's see, some more stuff about NYR. Well, there was a lot of stuff. I only have like 5 minutes left, so I got to move on. I think that the kids were great. The only kid that we really had issues with was my son Preston. He loved the dirt. Every time we turn away, man, you just look back and he's just covered with dirt again. You know, it kind of reminded me of in Genesis when God says, "From dust you came and dust you shall return." You know. But yeah, he had a new name after that trip. It's Joe Dirt. And I think he probably ate more dirt than he did food. So just so you know, guys, it's probably not going to hurt your kids. We experimented on that big time. But by the way, thank you for letting me experiment on your kids last year before I took mine. It worked out well. So moving on. I want to share a few illustrations with you guys that God shared with me. How many of you guys have driven into the mountains before? A lot of people. That's cool. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And like whenever you're starting to approach it, you know, you see them and you're like, man, this is cool. This is awesome. And then you start getting closer and you're like, wow. And then you start getting into them and you're like, wow. You know, the mountains, they just shout out God's majesty, you know. And I think that as Christians, one of the questions I had was, I wonder if people that live here realize how beautiful this place is, how, you know, blessed they are. And how many of us look at our Christianity that way too. You know, I know myself, God pulled me out of a dumpster, you know, spiritually speaking. It was rough. And I appreciate where I'm at. So I hope you guys appreciate the beauty of where you're at in your walk with God. You know, there's big mountains in front of us, and you got to climb up that mountain, and you stop and you rest and you look back, and it's beautiful. And that's kind of how it is with my relationship. As I'm continuing to grow, it's like, man, you know, sometimes it's hard, but it's worth it. It's so beautiful. So I hope that some of you guys that have been here since before you could remember know that you are in a beautiful place, because I've only been in it for 3 years and I can still take it for granted, you know. Another illustration that was shared with me was from Matt Proctor. He was one of the teachers there. So we did a breakout session and I went to the leadership class, and he gave a beautiful illustration of just how we are to carry on for our former Christians. You know, he was talking about how he ran a relay race for college. You know, he was a runner, and he was just talking about that baton, you know. And he spoke out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Or no, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also all who have loved his appearing." So I hope everyone in here also realizes that we are all in this race together. And you older leaders, I thank you so much for the great examples and the effort you're putting forth. And just keep running the race, you know, and you will receive that crown of righteousness in the end. And I just thank you just for the opportunity to be able to minister to your kids. And hopefully God will bless me to bless my children, to bless their children, and we can continue to pass these batons on and grow everyone's ministry for God's glory together. Thank you, guys.
Next up, we have Kay Johnson.
Hey everybody, my name is Cade. A lot of you probably don't know me because I only come on Wednesdays, but I went to NYR with the youth group and had a great time. It was awesome. If I had to pick one thing that I liked the most, it was probably the people. Everybody there was just awesome, and I had a wonderful time. I'd like to mention that before we went, everybody was like, you got to remember this, Cade. Tony snores really bad. And you won't be able to sleep the whole week. And the first night, I figured out that pretty quick. I thought, it can't be that bad. He can't snore that bad. It was that bad. Fortunately, Tessa had earplugs, and so I could actually sleep a little bit. And then the second night, I moved outside with Mike, so I didn't have to listen to him snore. But other than Tony snoring, I had a great time. I had a great time at all the messages. They were just the people who spoke were awesome. They definitely knew what they were talking about, and it was very impactful. And if I had to say one thing that I learned through the whole week, it was probably that I just need to stop and listen sometimes, because the distractions of life, like work, school, my phone, other people around me, just sometimes they can distract you from learning about the Lord and listening to what he has to say. And just the week of nothing, no real big distractions around me, just kind of opened my eyes to whether or not I need to, or just made me think about stopping and listening more often. But anyway, that's all I got. I think Sierra's next.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, so I just want to tell you, we had the biggest Rocky Mountain high on Jesus. Gotcha. Okay. All right, so first off, I had a really great time. It was lots of fun. I really like camping, and it was good to get to know everybody better. My favorite things were the fellowship and being out in God's creation and nature, all that. And I just have a little something from one of the message that spoke to me. So, during this particular message, the speaker spoke on how God wants to bring us from a life of safety and control to a life of risk and trust in him. To exemplify this, he set up an easy chair on one side of the stage and a life jacket on the other. The easy chair makes us feel safe, comfortable, and in control. But the Christian life is not all about sitting in your easy chair having all your needs met. It is about taking the risks to put on your life jacket and do what God has called you to do. And I'll share Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." So God already has a kingdom assignment, per se, waiting for us. We just have to be willing to choose to follow his path instead of staying comfortable. And sometimes to do that, we need a kick in the pants. And only when you embrace the risk can you enjoy the reward. And I'll finish up with a quote from C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, that kind of relates to this a little bit. Mr. Beaver said, "Aslan is a lion, the great lion." "Oh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "Safe," said Mr. Beaver. "Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he is good. He is the king, I tell you." All right, that's all I got. And Crystal is next.
Goodness, this is awful. Okay. I'm so nervous. Okay. Maybe if I can get to it. Well, good morning, and thank you all for allowing us to get up here and speak about our trip. We were given a time limit of 3 to 5 minutes, which is probably a very good thing because I could probably be here till next Sunday speaking about our trip. We had an amazing time on this trip. This was absolutely, without question, the best trip of my entire life. Michael was able to go last year to NYR, and he was like, "Oh, you're going to love it. It's going to be great. You get to go next year, you know, if we're blessed to go, you know." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, you know, this is going to be fun." I had great expectations. Everything was going to be fun and exciting. However, I was extremely, extremely overtaken by this trip. Everything about this was, it exceeded my expectations. I get really excited about trips, like extremely excited, even if we're just going to Hanson Hills to go camping. Like, I'm like a 5-year-old going to Disney World. And Michael gets super annoyed because I just get too amped up. But anyways, I was excited for the road trip because just driving into the mountains, I knew it was going to be amazing. And we have 3 children, so I knew this trip was going to be exciting because we have an almost 18-month-old. And driving 12 to 14 hours, was it? Was very exciting. I think Preston didn't sleep probably 11 of those hours. He only slept for maybe an hour the entire trip. He cried straight through for about 45 minutes. I thought Silas was going to die. He didn't. He survived. I love camping, so this is another thing that I was super excited about, camping in the mountains, tent camping. My children have never slept in a tent, ever. And so we were going to use the youth kids as guinea pigs to this adventure. And they actually did really well. Camping in Colorado was just absolutely beautiful. The pictures that were shown on here just didn't even magnify the beauty of this place. I mean, we went to Devil's Head, and it was breathtaking. I don't know if you guys have ever been there, but the beauty, oh, like you'd walk like 5 feet, and you're like, oh, this view is beautiful, and then you walk another 10 feet. This is even more beautiful than that view. It's like, how did God make this so just magical? It was just beautiful. Talking about Tony, I was able to get up in the middle of the night to go use the restroom, and I didn't want to do that because it's cold, and I had to get out of the sleeping bag and be cold. But we got to hear a wonderful trio of the night sounds, and that trio was Tony in one tent, Claire in another tent, and my daughter Maya, who is 7, in another tent. And it would just go back and forth, you know, between the three. It was just a beautiful sound. But not only that, I got to be able to witness some amazing life changes in several of our own children within our church family. And not even just our kids, but the kids that were at the group, at the camp. There was about 1,500 people, and kids and adults were giving their lives to Jesus, and it was just so magical and so overwhelming. We got to stand around this pond that they have, and in the middle of this pond, there's like a little island, and they set up like this fake campfire in the middle of it, and they had everyone surrounded and singing just music and watching people get baptized, or in the middle of worship services, people go to the front of the stage and just give their lives to Jesus. And it was just something that you can't ever take out of your mind. The kids asked me some really hard questions while we were there. I was able to get to know them and not have distractions of their phones. And, you know, these kids just need us. They need us to be there for them. And they want our attention. They want us to let them know that we are human and we make mistakes just like them. And it was so cool to just be intentional about, you know, each kid and having conversations with each one of them. I cry all the time because I'm a mom and that's just what I do. And so I don't think that there was ever a worship service or message or group time that we had that I didn't cry. And so I think Tessa gave me tissues once, maybe. Whitney, which is Jennifer's niece, gave me tissues, like, here you go, girl, you need this, you know. But as a church family in our group, it was just so cool just to see the working of God in every single second of every day that we were there. I mean, it was just so life-changing. And as a family here and as a church body, it is our duty, and not just because we are church leaders, but it's up to you guys as adults to, and for myself and the other youth leaders, to be present for these kids. We see so much uncertainty and hardships that these kids face, and it's not getting any easier for these guys. And it is up to us to make sure that we are teaching them the Word of God and teaching them how to live. And 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, and in purity." I know kids can be intimidating sometimes. but they need us. If we aren't these examples for them, who will they learn from? The ultimate challenge going forward is for you guys, as we need to extend our hearts, our ears, and our arms, not to just our kids here in this family, not just your own children, but reach out to your nieces, your nephews, your cousins, your grandkids, and just be that example of what God wants us to be, and for them to know that we love them and we're here for them no matter what. This was seriously the best trip that I've ever been on. And I've been on a lot of trips. And I wasn't just able to see our kids grow, but I watched the Lord grow in my own children. I know that Maya learned so much. She talks about it every day. She's been reading her Bible every single day from this, and she's 7. And her prayers have just grown so strong since being there. And Carson, he's 4, and there was one worship service that he was, I think you guys seen a picture of it. He was on Michael's shoulders and he had his arms up to the Lord worshiping with his eyes closed. Like, my kid doesn't do that. You know, how special was that as a mom to see that God is working in him and that he is loving Jesus Christ. And it was just so cool just to witness that as being his mom, and that we are making the right choice to raise our kids up in the church. And not that I ever have doubts, but as moms, you have doubts of how you're raising your kids and if you're doing the right things. Are you making mistakes? Are you learning from those mistakes? And so I feel like we are doing the right thing. God really worked in me on how to be a better servant towards him and to be more present for our youth kids and just being aware of everything that's around us. I know that he was very pleased watching all of those kids and all those adults just praise him and just learn his word the whole time we were there. And there's one other thing that I've learned. It is possible to eat pounds of dirt and not die. Preston, our 18-month-old, is living proof of that. But seriously, thank you guys for allowing you youth kids and other youth leaders for letting me be a part of this. It's truly an honor and blessing for me and my family to be a part of this. And thank you for all the support and all the money that was given, all the hard work that went into the 5K, the dinner and auction. We couldn't have done this trip without you guys. So thank you guys, and I love you.
Next up, we have Silas Barker.
Well, hey, everyone. So first of all, I'd like to thank everyone again for coming to the 5K, the dinner that y'all came to, buying all the cheesecakes from the Figaro's, because that van pulling the U-Haul, that thing gets terrible gas mileage. So there's a lot of gas that goes through that thing. And I'd like to thank all the leaders for taking us. You're being a great example to us, how we should live. And special thanks to Mike for cooking all week, 3 meals a day. Usually you don't get that when you're camping. And for having the idea for the campsite, it was like Fort Knox of campsites. We had tarps everywhere and tents, and we did landscaping and all that. I know Tony is getting ridiculed a lot for snoring, but for a fair point, he did have those nose strip things, but they didn't work at all. He put 2 of them on one night and still didn't work. One of the nights, they had us stay in the valley because I guess there's a bear spotted or something. And I'm like, yeah, I've been hearing one every night in the tent. But right when he would get ready to go to sleep, I would be like, okay, maybe this night I'll get some sleep. And he starts snoring, say, hey, Tony, what? You're snoring again. Okay, go back to sleep. it's quiet for a little bit. You start to fall asleep, and then you hear this god-awful noise right next to you. Then you can't sleep anymore. But enough of that. I think some of my favorite things was the weather there. It was at night. It would get to like 40 or 50 degrees, so you could sleep pretty well with a sleeping bag. In the daytime, it would get in the 80s. Sometimes it would get a little hotter. When we went to Platte River, that was one of the hottest days, and it felt really nice because the river's like 30 degrees. No, then it would be frozen. It was like 40 degrees. But I liked some of the activities, like Garden of the Gods. We got to hike on that and get in trouble for climbing too high. And one of my favorite thing probably was the fellowship with all the youth and the leaders, getting to know each other a little better. Because you don't really, I mean, here you've got school, phones, sports, all these different things you're busy with. You don't really talk to each other or spend time with each other, but there's no distractions at all. And really all you have to do is talk to each other and go to the sessions and learn about God. But I think what I probably learned from those sessions was the importance of our everyday routine, like reading your Bible, praying every day, and listening for what God has to tell you. And I think that's what they really emphasize there with the theme of momentum, kind of getting us in that habit during the week, because you do that every day. You go to two sessions, you have a class, you get all of that. And I think they try to get you in the habit of that, so once you get home, you stay in that cycle of doing reading, praying, listening, because that's how you really grow with having a relationship with God. Because if you really think about it, if you try to get to know someone, you're not going to get close if you don't talk to them, learn about them, learn what they like, and listen to them. And it's the same with Jesus. If you don't listen to what he has to say and talk to him and get to know him, there won't be any relationship there. So my scripture that I have that I think that helped. Hold on. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So that scripture kind of sums up what they were teaching, trying to get us in our word and really know what we believe. So when people ask, what do you believe or why do you believe this, you'll be able to give reasons why and give facts why you do this and why it is true. So I think Claire is next. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Claire Jones. I went to NYR with the youth group. I had a blast at NYR getting to know all of my friends better. And the number one most important, best thing that made an impact on my life was the songs and getting to sing and worship to them. I want to give a huge thank you to all of the sponsors that helped us for the NYR trip. Thank you. Next up is Tessa.
Oh gosh, this is nerve-wracking. I'm just going to read this off. I want to start off by saying that NYR in Colorado is probably the best week in my life for reasons that not many words can explain. For one, I got to build relationships with people I didn't know and people I knew but didn't talk to. For two, I wasn't lost in my faith anymore. And for a while there, I was very lost and had a hard time with anxiety and my emotions. I went to NYR and those emotions came pouring out of me. I'm pretty sure that overall I probably cried more than Preston, but not more than Crystal. The messages were a different story though. Some were encouraging and thoughtful and really tied into my life and what I should be doing with it. But there was one message that was crucial to listen to, but it was very true and taught me to be better and stop just playing church. Now, sometimes I still have doubts and questions, but NYR taught me that Jesus says it's okay to have doubts. And as the week went on, those doubts started to drift away. I found that Jesus was walking alongside me, and I started accepting him with me. The whole week really just changed my life mentally, emotionally, and socially. My school friends, though, they aren't as deep into their faith as I am now, and they don't always act like they should when it comes to their so-called Christian self. But that one week helped me realize that it's all right to just pray for them because sometimes it's all that you can do. Now I tie my faith in Jesus into almost everything I do and say, and all I want to do is spread the love and grace of God. Tony tells me that now I've made that decision to accept Jesus, life's going to be much harder, but much, much better than before, and he was right. I can already see it. That's about all I could say that changed in my heart, mind, and soul, body, and life after NYR. That week was truly amazing, and thank you for taking me. Here's Tony.
Well, I have a 7-point sermon on snoring today, in defense of snoring. No, no, I'm joking. So first and foremost, I know we're running a little late today. I just want to say thank you to all who donated to our various fundraising activities. Because of you, every single youth was able to go on the trip free, absolutely free. So thank you. Round of applause. You guys are sowing into their lives, and you're going to make an impact that's going to last an eternity. So thank you again. A few other shout-outs and thank yous. Pastor Ron and Rick, thank you guys for getting the trailer, taking care of that. I was actually out of town with that before the trip, so thank you very much. And also the vehicles, Pastor Ron, lining all that out. I also want to give a huge shout-out to Jennifer, Crystal, Mike, and Aaron for going on the trip, sacrificing time, sacrificing maybe being on a mountain camping. For me, I don't really camp a whole lot, so I kind of understand. So thank you very much, Mike, for cooking, for planning out the entire campsite and just having that vision. And I loved having the Wolf's kids there too. So that was absolutely amazing. A few things from my end, my favorite things of the trip, and also some lessons learned. Now, you always go on a youth trip expecting to learn and to grow. And I'll talk about that here in a minute. So my favorite things on the trip. First and foremost, the worship. The worship. The Josh Howerton band, yes, you heard my voice in there. But that was Josh Howerton in the video. And that band is anointed. They literally come together. They're from all corners of the United States. They come together and they do it one week out of the year. They are totally anointed, and a lot of breakthroughs in my heart and my life through worship. I really appreciate the messages and teachings, like everyone said, 3 times a day. I love that. I love getting deep into the Word, and basically you're doing what Jesus did, to get alone with the Father, be with the Father, and I love that. Your phones are off, no distractions. The day trips, we went to Platte River again, Devil's Head, Garden of the Gods, just being in God's creation and his glory and seeing that is always awesome. The fellowship. And I love the youth. I absolutely love these kids. I work with teenagers. It's my day job. And just having deeper conversations, having time with them and talking about the Lord, talking about their walk with God, and maybe even playing a few games of chess is pretty fun too. And first and foremost, this trip, they always present the gospel. And I really appreciate that. Even if you've heard it a million times, you got to keep hearing it. You got to keep hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then also being the butt of a joke is always nice. I was told that my new name, actually, my name is actually mispronounced quite often. But my last name is Senor, but now it's Senor, I guess. So, and then also another common joke theme of the week. We talked about a certain youth that was not on the trip. He will not be named, Antonio, that we talked about quite a bit. It was like he was there for some reason. So you could talk to me after that, after I speak. So a few things that I learned. And I went, all the leaders except for Aaron. Aaron actually went to the college age group with Claire. Myself, Mike, Crystal, and Jennifer, we went to the leadership class. Matt Proctor, and he's actually the president of Ozark Christian College. Really humble guy, really filled with knowledge and experienced guy in the ministry. And one thing I learned from one of the breakout sessions, and this is a lesson I've had to learn the hard way, is that you cannot do ministry on your own. You are not a spiritual Superman. You cannot do ministry on your own. Sometimes in my life, I've wanted to take the whole burden of the youth on my shoulders and just run with it. Take it. All right, Lord, it's me and you. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. That's not how God wants us to operate. We need one another. We need each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to help each other. And sometimes you need to accept that. Sometimes you need to accept that in your own life. I need help. I need someone to help me out. I can't do this by myself. I came from a background of wrestling, and that's a totally individual sport. And I'm the kind of guy that would go out there, and it's on you whether you win or lose. And God has really been working that out of me, individual versus team sport. I have a few verses to share in conclusion here. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. And I'll go ahead and read this and just share some thoughts that I got from Matt Proctor and just things the Lord's been working on my heart in general. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. So I'm going to say this about our leadership team. We have grown a lot. Mike shared that earlier. There's been a lot of growth just in our leadership team, but in our youth group as well. We work well together because our first and foremost priority is to lift the name of Jesus Christ on high, to glorify him and to teach his word to these youth. That is our number one goal. And when you start to peel that, if you make that your priority, that all that other stuff of pride and taking charge and all that stuff kind of dissolves and dissipates. And that is our goal, is to teach this gospel, embed it in their hearts. Verse number two I wanted to cover. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. So in this group, not only in this group, but in this church, Christ is the head. Christ is the head of our youth group, of this church. And I need Mike Wolf. I need Crystal Wolf. I need Jennifer Case. I need Aaron Senor. I need Pastor Ron. I need various other adults to make this thing work. I need you. And I had to learn that the hard way. And working together, we're going to serve these youth, this church, and we will grow. We will grow. We will just grow in this ministry and in this church and serve the Lord together. So I learned that the hard way. The last scripture I'll leave you guys with, and this was very evident in our trip and just some strengths and weaknesses in our group. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I'm going to say this. One of my weaknesses is camping, like in general. Like, I'm not a huge camper. Now, I could go spend a week somewhere or weekend, you know, my wife or whatever, but I'm talking about a huge, big trip out in the mountains. You have 19 people, okay? This trip would not have gone as smooth if it was just me. Mike Wolf, Crystal, Jennifer, Aaron. We all did various things. And Mike, he has a lot of experience in the camping world and setting up camps and serving people, feeding people. And to me, it just makes things easier on me. And you know, Mike and I actually had a conversation about this. You know, hey, you know, he's talking about me. You're really good at the paperwork side of things, organizing things, making sure things are in order. And I told him, I was like, dude, you're really good at this camping thing. I'm not. And, you know, we all serve a role in this youth group. And I would challenge you, you all serve a role in this church body. And this trip was amazing. And we plan on going next year as well and continuing to see what God does in our group. And I just want to say thank you again to those who donated. And I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Pastor Ron.
Thanks, brother. Awesome, awesome. We're going to close in prayer. If we could stand, I'd like to have all the youth leaders, we want to pray a blessing over all of you for God just to set a seal on what he has done and to empower you. Because you've received a lot, and God wants to use you to bless others. Also, I'd like to have Natalie come, and I want to pray over her as well, and that awesome ministry in Albania. And my daughter Maya, actually, she's part of a great work. She's a youth pastor in Kendallville, Indiana. I want to pray over you too, so come on down as well. All of you that are serving the Lord of gladness. We have all the youth. Praise God. Why don't we, church family, just stretch our hands. Lord, we praise you. How great and how wondrous are your works. And Lord, as we go through this life, it's like we're all camping. And your goal is transformation. As we saw with these and their trip and the transformation, Lord, may that be all of our experience. And may they take what they have received. May it continue to bless them for many days. May they run in that strength for many, many days. And when the drift factor happens, when the coldness or the harshness of life comes, Lord, may your spirit rise up in each of their hearts and just continue to stir up the gift that was deposited. And Lord, we pray as a church family, our hearts are moved as precious Natalie, one of our own, Lord, has gone out and is doing great things is valiant on your behalf. And we go with her, Lord. We thank you for that. We pray you continue to encourage her, Lord, and physically, financially, with the learning of the language, in her up and coming season of marriage. Just bless and keep her. May your face always shine upon her and protect her, Lord God. And may she be a light shining in a dark place. Bless her, Lord, and all those that she serves with, the team, and may that ministry come forth for the college, Lord, and just bring forth much fruit. And I thank you for my daughter Maya and the wonderful work she's doing in Kendallville. And keep that youth group as it's growing and thriving, Lord. May there be a more of a team effort as well as she's equipping others, Lord. And just bless her and her husband Bailey as they serve you, Lord God. And I pray you're just let your light shine through her. Let that zeal and that care she has for those that she serves, may that always be there, because I know that touches your heart. Thank you, Lord God, for this gathering that we've had. Bless each of these precious ones that have come here today that have heard and seen of your goodness, O Lord. And may they go out with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings upon you. Have a great day.